The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
Good Monday morning, and welcome to another edition of Analyze This here on your NPR station in the U.S. Virgin Islands, WTJX FM, with yours truly, Neville James. And I want to thank everybody yesterday, you know what I'm saying, for sending out the birthday blessings. You know, your boy is officially city, you know what I'm saying? I dropped a little something on Facebook, and I got awesome response, you know. Made 60, right? A full 60 as of yesterday. So that was nice. That was nice. And it fell on a Sunday, you know what I'm saying? So that was kind of cool as well. The last 3 years, it's been on weekdays. So I had the pleasure of doing this show on a birthday, but not yesterday. So today is... birthday day after. But, you know, I'm grateful, you know, because life ain't guaranteed. Kobe Bryant said one of the biggest problems in the world today is a lot of people believe they have time. And it ain't like that. You know, the great Kobe Bryant passed away some 4 years ago. Unfortunate, tragic, a helicopter accident back in January of 2020. It seemed like yesterday, you know what I'm saying? So I'm doing my thing, and I want to thank you for being here with me. We're coming up on our 4-year anniversary, the latter part of next month. We had a great run and continue to have a great run. So I believe we got the Weather Service on the line joining us. Who am I speaking with this morning? Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Hey, what going on, man?
Good morning, man. Everybody good over there?
Everything good.
Everybody had a good weekend?
I had a Mac birthday yesterday, man.
Happy birthday yesterday. Happy belated birthday, man.
Yeah,
that's
man.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure you celebrated, right?
It was nice.
Good, man.
As you age, you just start to appreciate life even more.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You have to start that, man.
Yes, yeah, so that was good. How you been, man? How's everything?
I'm doing good. Everything's going good. You know, I've been working all weekend, but other than that, I've been, you know, enjoying the beautiful weather we've been having over here.
The weather is nice, but I'm starting to feel that smidgen of morning humidity now, though. You could tell it's starting to get a little warm.
You're getting a little bit in the mornings, a little bit of dew and stuff in the morning. But other than that, it's cool, you know, and we have to really enjoy it now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You never know later down in the year what's going to happen,
That's right. So 70s and 80s for the most part this week?
That's what we're looking for most of the week today. And, you know, temperature slightly in around St. Croix, you know, past few days has been really a couple degrees above normal, you know, and you know that which is the trend for the past year.
Yes, sir.
These temperatures are pretty much 1 or 2 degrees above normal, and that's going to continue through most of the week. Overall, general outlook: fair weather conditions we expect all week. Pretty much light winds today from the east southeast, becoming a little bit more east northeast by the tomorrow and through the rest of the week, and increasing by the weekend. That means they bring a little breezy conditions, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The main impacts we have this week is going to be starting tomorrow. We have in the marine conditions.
Okay, tell us about it. Let the boaters know and the beachgoers know what's going on.
Yeah, the beach forecast and stuff like that looks pretty good right now. We have seas right now along the Caribbean waters, which means the southern portions of the coastlines. They will be around 2 to 4 feet. But in the local passages, that means between eastern Puerto Rico and the, you know, and west of the Virgin Islands, you're looking at seas between 3 to 5. And same likewise for over the Atlantic, which is the north coastal lines. So you're looking at 3 to 5 today. However, later tonight and the rest of the week, that's going to be ramping up. The sea conditions are going to deteriorate. We have that frontal system that's kind of stalling across north of the area. low is going to develop and it's going to push some swells. We're going to get some swell action and that's going to bring seas up by the end of the week. And we're looking at anywhere between 6 to 8 feet. With that comes, you know, like I said, the swells and deterring marine conditions, meaning 6 to 8 foot seas and high risk of rip currents along the north and east coastal areas all through the week, starting tomorrow, I'd say tomorrow afternoon, and continuing at least through Friday, possibly into Saturday. Weather-wise, though, the front looks like it's going to hang up north of us. I could see some easterly trades bringing in when the winds increase by Thursday, Friday, bringing in some showers early in the morning and stuff like that, passing showers, but nothing of significance, right? Look like just fairly nice weather for the VI and the surrounding waters, you know, like I said, improving over the weekend. But in the meantime, hazardous conditions for marine and the coastal beach forecast.
No, two things. I want a favor for you. As a meteorologist, right?
Yeah.
You've been what? How long have you been a meteorologist?
Well, it's been going on over, I'd say, over 35 years.
35 years.
Yep.
And you move here to the Virgin Islands as a child from Trinidad?
Well, yeah, from Trinidad I went. I was in the Virgin Islands, and then I moved to St. Croix. From there, I joined the Air Force. I was in there for 20 years. I was doing the same thing. I was a weather forecaster there, too, mm-hmm. and then I got out. And then I got into the National Weather Service, and with the National Weather Service for 30 years, I did 20 in the Air Force.
You can do your
homework, and you see how old I am.
I could do the math. what I really want from you is explain to the audience, right? Given we're dealing with climate change and all that stuff, the difference between the trade winds back in the day and the trade winds now, because you just mentioned them a little bit there. Right, the easterly trade. That's what you said, right? Easterly trade winds.
Right.
And I could recall. The reason why I asked is I could recall when we were growing up, the trade winds were very prevalent, and now they don't seem to be as prevalent as it was back in the day.
Yeah, because you have these more systems are changing a little bit, warmer water temperatures and stuff, and that pretty much it kind of enhances or changes, modifies the strength of the low and high pressure systems.
Mm-hmm.
See, when the high-pressure system is stronger, you have the stronger dominant trade winds. And as it weakens, you get these weaker winds, trade winds, and stuff like that. And that's what carries and brings all this moisture across the area.
Okay. So the warm water really is the
yeah,
ingredient.
The modification of this, it kind of generates and it kind of, it affects everything. It's all, you know, this is all fluid, you know. It's not a whole one thing in place all the time. It's
mm-hmm.
all, it's constantly changing. And the weather, any little subtle changes in that configuration and stuff, you know, the dominant high-pressure system and low-pressure systems, that kind of modifies the flow of the trade winds.
Okay, good. Now, finally, they're claiming that 2024 is a La Nina year. you heard that? You laughing?
Yes, I know that question coming, man.
You know that. You know that. You know it is.
Tell the public
the distinction between El Nino and La Nina.
Well, you see, what happened is when we have the El Nino, that conditions are less conducive, let's say. But like I said, last year it was less conducive, but you can see the amount of hurricanes we had.
Mm-hmm.
What's affecting some of this is when the Nina comes in, the wind flow across the Atlantic and stuff like that is a little bit lighter winds, the steering winds that comes from the east, and that in kind of helps in the formation and development of better potential for
development of hurricane
activity.
Yeah, because when it's still... When it's still, I mean, it got time to walk.
Sheared and cut off.
Yeah,
the upper level winds don't cut off the development of that stuff, and that's the main difference. However, what's going on is what, like you mentioned, things are changing. The water temperatures are going up, you know, a couple degrees higher than normal, you know, and that's what's to change. Although we had last year, when the Nino conditions, we expect La Nina, which means a better potential for development of hurricanes and stuff this year. Also, we have the warm water temperatures. Okay, so that combination alone, all in all, we don't have the official discussions out yet. But all I can say to everybody is we are going to be approaching the hurricane season pretty fast, and be prepared. I mean, take advantage of this beautiful weather, enjoy it, but you prepare yourself.
Yes.
You know, like to me,
yes.
every hurricane season, we should be already prepared. Start preparing now. Always think that, you know, hey, this could be a bad year. Let me make sure everything's in place. Check your plans and get everything together.
No,
you know, don't wait for the last minute.
Correct. No, the hurricane season officially is at June 1 to November 30th.
But we have
the weather outlook now, right? That comes in the middle of May, right? May 15th?
Yes, that should be coming out. And we get, you know, other people will be putting stuff out before, but, you know, we will get ours at the end of April, May. But what I want to say is, you know, just keep in mind that, you know, just prepare yourselves. You always be prepared. You know, we are in an area here, like I said, in the islands, and there's always going to be a hurricane season. Ain't going away. So, you know, you always have to be prepared.
I look in outside now. Look, now this place really lovely for sure. The weather really is perfect today. You know,
it is beautiful, man. It's beautiful out there, you know.
Yeah, so we definitely got to take advantage of that. Thank you for educating me and the audience this morning. I appreciate that.
You all have a wonderful day and the rest of the week.
And we want the public to know Robert Mitchell is a Crucian. Right?
He might
be born in Trinidad, but he's a Crucian. Thank you very much, Mr. Mitchell.
And, for sure. Right.
And we're glad to have you on there as well. Seriously, I look in outside. When I came over the hill tonight, this morning, I mean, and I look over and I said, what is this? But I noticed, though, that the sun was beaming down early, right? And I said, yes, I felt a smidgen of that humidity this morning. You know, when I went on working my way outside the house, and I said, uh-oh. Normally, it's an April thing, but I feel a smidgen in March. But I'm not surprised. You know, climate change is real, man. People can say what they want, right? And remember now, when it first started, it was global warming, right? And then they realized that, you know, the weather isn't always about getting warm. So they found a politically correct terminology of climate change. You know what I'm saying? So it's all good. And that, you know, that's another example of how, you know, the use of the terminologies can impact things, and we are, you know, we're cognizant of that. Speaking of which, you know, Thursday when I had that discussion with Gabrielle Carrad, and she mentioned that colloquial term, and I took it and ran with it. That knocking dog, right? I am still just freaking out at how the audience, right, you know, embraced our cultural discourse. And I mean, I could find different ways to say it, but I could use it that way. Our cultural discourse, the way we'd talk to one another, you know, and the local tone that we'd use. You know, Leslie Commission was telling me that Lito Valls apparently either has a book or did something along this line, and you know, we really need to appreciate everything about us, right? And you know, I'm a history major, right? So that comes easy for me. But in the Caribbean, right, we have a majority of the island speaking English. Right, we have, but for Guadeloupe and Martinique, and then of course you got, you know, the full patois down in Dominica and Saint Lucia, but they speak English down there as well. The primary language in Dominica is English, or is English, right? But I love to hear them when they're in full flight talking the patois, you know, and. I was fortunate when I was working, Governor Schneider at the time was the commissioner of the Department of Health, and myself, Christiana Williams, all of us, our parents were working at the Department of Health, and they made sure that the employees at the Department of Health, their children got some summer work, and I worked for WIC, the WIC program, and I met a Miss Payne. She was from Dominica, and she was a sweetheart. And she was teaching me some of the basic words, like muele, right? Muele mage, right? Now there are those who say mueble. There's this distinction. I mean, when she said, that means I want to eat or I'm hungry, Right? So, right? So muele is the I want. Right? Right, Danny? That's it, right? Yes. So, ouvle. Right? Ouvle is you want. Right? So, you know. And here we are in the Virgin Islands. Right? The unquestioned melting pot of the Caribbean, where we have folks from the Eastern and Lower Caribbean, actually, and the Lesser Antilles. And a lot of them migrate through the Virgin Islands because for most of them, the goal is to get to America, right? And the best stopping point is the Virgin Islands, you know, because we're English speaking, just like they are. And then we had the refinery here on St. Croix in particular. So we had a lot of folks from Trinidad, from Aruba, from Ceiba, right, and Anguilla and what have you, St. Lucia and Dominica, and the list goes on. And we don't have a major migration here from Guadeloupe and Martinique, but from literally every other island, even Barbados, right? Every person who from Barbados who come to the Virgin Islands, we don't call them Beige, right? And of course, that's short for Bajan. Same thing with anybody who come from America, right? And come down here with a Cali Yankee, right? That's one of the sweetest thing about living in the Virgin Islands. You know what I'm saying? We got our nicknames that we attach to you, and that's all part of it, right? So that discussion, of course, this is VI History Month, but that discussion with Gabriel Carrad was awesome. You know, I really I'm glad that we had that discussion. And I want to remind you that Malik Siku is going to be joining us. And we're going to talk about the movement of people in his first of two appearances in VI History Month. And the first one is on Thursday. That's the 14th. And then he'll be back again 2 weeks later on the 28th. Right? Now, I don't know. The 28th, I believe, is Holy Thursday. So we got to figure that one out. We might have to move that one depending on what we're doing here at the station. But we might have to move that one to the Tuesday, the 26th. You know what I'm saying? But and that one that we're gonna talk about self-governance from 1970 to present, right? So we're still relatively young as relates to self-governance because we had let me say 1917 to 70. 53 years, right? Yeah, 53 years before we were allowed to elect our own. And Virgin Islands played a role in that, you know, over time. And it was interesting how the Revised Organic Act of 54, and they allowed for us to have a legislature, elected legislature, and the apportionment of representatives, at the time 11, and then because of population shifting and growth, 12 years later, that number went up to 15. You know, so things like that. I enjoy breaking down during VI History Month. So what we're going to do is take a break when we come back to Table Talk. We got a lot to talk about. It's my understanding that the First Lady is going to be working her way back through the Virgin Islands for a spring break. And we got Ramadan, right? And how that's going to impact the Middle East conflict and things of that nature. And we also have a new superintendent. So we're going to ask Rocky Leibold, what's that? What's the deal with superintendents and all that stuff? Be back right after this.
You know a good story when you hear it. Makes you feel, laugh, think. Sometimes you get a little teary. I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday, and each week we bring you stories from around the country and around the world. Stories that help you learn, make you smile, catch you by surprise. Please join us every Saturday for the news you need and the stories you won't forget.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTGX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands. The Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
Weekday mornings are a juggle, sometimes even a struggle. Morning Edition from NPR News eases you into your day and keeps you company through the chaos of a busy morning. Hear interviews that give you context on the day's biggest stories, along with reporting and updates on the latest breaking news. Stay on top of the world with Morning Edition every weekday.
Morning Edition, weekdays at 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
Human beings have been making music for tens of thousands of years. It brings us together. It has the power to communicate emotions and ideas. It's a profound part of the human experience. Hear the stories behind the music you love and new music you might fall in love with. I'm Raina Duras. Join me for in-depth interviews with artists who are continuing that musical history on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here and analyze this, and the people them done start to chime in already. Joey Hollins, you know, that's my schoolmate. He had me to know that the Puerto Rican them, right? Our nickname for them is Papa and Mama, right? So that's a very accurate thing there. And Dwayne Henry had me to know that the pronunciation is Caribbean, not Caribbean. Right, or Caribbean, not Caribbean. Right. So the when I think about that, I always think of our newspaper. Right, that we used to call it Avis, and then we started calling it the Avis because you know Avis is a car rental as well on the mainland. You know, so I happen to know it. Yeah, Caribbean. You know what I mean? Not Caribbean. Yo, it is what it is. We're going to enjoy that. Ronnie Russell should be joining me soon, and then Rocky going to come in. Doc Cole is on assignment. Matter of fact, if you're listening to him online and you're there in the terminal in St. Thomas, you're probably seeing him because he's getting ready to board a flight to head up to the mainland. Ronnie Russell, Mr. President of the 29th Legislature, four-term senator, out of the West now, hanging out in the valley in the Kenan area. How are you, man?
I am good, and how are you?
I doing.
And everybody else.
I doing. Everybody good. Yeah, Rocky should be joining us a little bit. Ronnie,
today, go ahead. Your birthday close by?
Yesterday. See, a full 60, right? So
happy birthday, man.
Yeah. So I've officially started my 61st year on Earth. And that will conclude. That'll come full next year, March, God willing. But I'm glad to reach 60. You know, I was thinking back, Ronnie. You know, when we were young, I was talking with one of my childhood friends about this. You know, when you smile, you're thinking I either live to be old. You know what I mean? And then you find out. You find out that ain't the case. You check. So you got to be grateful.
Yep. And recently we've been having a lot of challenges, you know,
So I spoke with two of your schoolmates. Johnny Clemens called me yesterday. Okay, I think Johnny was a year after you, or out of the same year.
No, I was with Calvin.
You were with Calvin. Yeah. So Johnny called me, and then I saw Lawrence Nielsen last night as well. So that was nice. I tell you, I make 67, man. I born in 53, man. You just reach.
Yeah.
And then before we bring Rocky in, the Facebook thing, four of my teachers, from the 70s, chime in to include Rani. And I know a lot of people don't know this. Norman John Baptiste was my Spanish teacher the one year I went to... the one year I went to Central, he had just come out at UVI and he was my Spanish teacher in Central High. And you know Miss Neil Sabau. Remember when Miss Neil Sabau and they had a very good foreign language department at Central High back then in the 70s?
Norman and I went to college.
That's what I'm saying.
Come St. Lucia, he and I enrolled in UVI.
Could you imagine that? And then 30 years later.
Yes.
two schoolmates, two UVA schoolmates, and a student of one of them. Wow, we've been in the legislature for 4 years. Wow, together. Yes. That's a small world. Rocky Laybon, the ranking member out of St. John, numero uno en la papeleta. Buenos dias. Glad to have you on this morning, sir.
Good morning to you, Mr. President. Happy birthday. Happy belated birthday.
Yeah, man.
And morning to Mr. Ronnie Russell, mm-hmm. President Russell. And then St. Norris, of course.
Today, I can't introduce, because, you know, Ducks is on assignment. All the president's men. This man, you know what I'm saying? So we have four terms, 8 years of presidency this morning. Hey, Rocky, word is that the first lady is going to be working her way, or she might be here already, back into the territory. Same routine as last year, where they came in December, and then she came for spring break in March. So if that is factual, we're glad to have her back. And when you look outside, I know you're in Diana, right? You're still in the mainland, right? Hey, Ronnie, tell Rocky how lovely it is outside this morning. Goodness gracious. Ronnie, we lose Ronnie.
See you.
I wanted to rub it in and let Rocky know how lovely it is outside this morning.
Yeah, I half island too, you know.
Oh. That's a good joke. I didn't know that.
No, I come to the track meet.
Oh yes.
Oh, girls are running.
Okay, okay. Michelle Smith running?
She ran, and Sophia Swindell.
Swindell. Okay, well, where is it? This is the indoors or outdoors?
This is the indoors in Boston, New Balance track.
Oh, you're in Boston. Oh.
Yeah, I had to come up because, you know, it's the nationals for the high school championships of America.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said, I coming up to check them out, man. I just take a little cruise.
How Michelle did, or is she still running?
Michelle ran fourth in the 400.
Okay.
And Sophia Swindell, she ran third in the 200. The 400 in Michelle Racing.
That's what I was going to ask you. I thought she was an 800 meter open and 400 meter hurdle, right?
Yep.
Okay. So she's trying something new
for the high school. Yeah, well, she running for the high school. She developing certain skills along the way, and the school ran in the relays and everything. They did well, and you know, it's like, you know, you have to at given points in a track career, you develop certain skills going along to make you the world class athlete that you are, and she developing perfectly. So she needs speed, and the 400 is build speed.
Yeah.
Her race is 8.
So therefore, running in the 400 really is about strengthening her for the 800 and the 400 meter hurdles then?
Exactly.
Okay, good. Exactly. What about the young lady from Tortola? She ran Khadija? She ran this year?
I didn't see her up here. Her name, I don't think they came up. The VVI came up, you know?
Okay.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But it was, you know, listen, runners from all parts of the country. I sat down with a group from Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I connect with them, you know? The lady was really nice, you know? And they were telling me about, you know, the program. And it's a repeat of our program where parents come. A lot of parents were in the stands. Ayana is a Sophia Swindell mom. And, you know, you see it. These parents support the children, and they travel to these meets to show a kind of love and support for the children that I hope we could translate it to the Virgin Islands, because we don't have that kind of support, you know, in athletes and in children doing things where the parents come out. Here it was like a mass appearance. You could see it. You could see them, the children run to the parents after they run, whether they win or lose. And it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. So I'm up here. So I want to recognize that we have great athletes coming out of the Virgin Islands, and they competed really well in the National High School Championship here in Boston.
No, that's good. That's good. Rocky, when you got into the legislature in 91, I think it was around then when they started to realize they had a problem with the track and field facilities out at Nazareth and Udorak, at high school, right? I've been working to address that for a lot of years over there.
Yeah, not only that, we always, you know, been funding the interscholastic games, which I believe is one of the better things that happened in high school. You know, entrepreneurial plus the interscholastic,
mm-hmm.
because it creates an atmosphere and environment for students to get to know each other, to understand different parts of the world, the country, like Cushion, versus Syntomian and Syntonian, and really a good camaraderie, you know, and those are the kind of things that's still missing today in terms of how our children develop, because that's all part of the life kin method. It allows these children to live in a world that's not just a bubble in the school alone, but all of these people come from different walks of life. Their children are from, you know, some have it good, some don't have it so good, you know, some struggling, but they're all able to come together in that second. And, you know, you never know what happens from there. From there, it grows. But as Ronnie just mentioned, we just don't have enough people to support children in sports. Now, I got to tell you guys something, that sometimes it's not that the children, sometimes it's part of the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Parents doesn't involve in it, because I'm going to give you an example of myself and my brothers. We were not allowed to play softball and basketball and those kind of sports because my father didn't like that. He didn't like that, so he got allowed to play. So, you know, we only played when we got to high school during school time. But other than that, you know, like to go in the afternoon to play like that, no, that couldn't work out. So the potential that we may have, because I know my brother was a good track star, the one who passed away,
mm-hmm.
but he could never show it because my parents didn't allow that. He was a guy that, you know, you got to come to home to work, get some shovel and pick up some sand out of the beach and come home and you bring some bucket and walk, that kind of thing, clean the yard, take care of the animal there, you know, the pigs and goats and sheep that we do. So, you know, it depends on the kind of parent that you have that allows for athletics. Because my old man, when he's watching a leg for boxing, and they were in the school.
Rocky, you went to UPR or Inter-American?
I went to Inter-American.
Inter-American, so you were down in San Germán?
Yeah.
That's down on that's the far side of Puerto Rico, right?
I was down there with Chico.
Down there with Chico Morales? Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So let me tell you, I was there. A guy named Otto Latima.
That's my partner. Right? That was one of my mentors. He and Glenn Byron, them, and so grew up together. Otto, yeah.
Otto was a guy named Warren Brown. He passed away now.
Yeah, no, Warren. Randy, you know Warren Brown. He worked at the court for years, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Warren Brown.
Yeah.
Who was it? Kenny Clark.
Oh, one of the great athletes out in the West.
Yeah,
Kenny Clark.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. And hold on there, Rocky. I mean, Ronnie. Kenny Clark was also a National Guard, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. He was a great tennis player. Tennis, baseball. He ain't had a sport, basketball. He had a sport that they create that Kenny Clark wouldn't excel at. Not just play. Excel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he was good at it.
Yeah, man.
Yeah. He even joined. He was part of the national team for our school. You know, he played on the varsity team.
At Inter American. Okay.
Yeah.
You
know what? A group too. A fellow named Raymond Amau. Neftali Rivera.
Wait. Rocky, what you know about Raymond Amau and Neftali Rivera? What you know about them there?
Oh, you mean I got it?
Wow. Ronnie, you hear them big name that Rocky calling there, Ronnie?
Absolutely.
And you know, most of them, Ronnie, and you could relate to this because I spoke with your brother. I spoke with Eddie at a wedding a couple of weeks ago. That man is New Rican, or no? That man is Puerto Rican with family in New York, right?
Yeah.
And Ronnie, I was teasing Eddie, right, about who was a better trumpet player between he and James Porter. Right, because he and Vargrave and Mickey Lynch like to have a little argument, and Eddie settled it for me. Eddie said, "When we were younger, James Porter was the man, but then he went on to be in the armed forces, and it looks like he stopped playing, and Eddie just kept on playing and playing and getting better." But he also mentioned that your father, Ronnie, and Steve O'Reilly, right?
That's right.
All of them went to New York. Right?
Yep.
And your father didn't come back home. He's one of them who stayed in, like many Virgin Islanders, who stayed up in New York. And Steve O'Reilly came back home and all that stuff. We got rich history in the Virgin Islands. You hear the name there, Rocky Carly, Roddy? Jeez, Sam, brother. Yes. Wow.
Yep.
And listen, you know, playing on the varsity team too, and you don't know?
Who?
Chico Morales, you know?
Chico's a great athlete. I wouldn't be surprised. Morning, Chico. Wow. And Chico was a great volleyball player. Great.
Yeah. And Kenny was one too.
Kenny had no sport that Kenny didn't excel at. Not just play. Yeah. Excel, Kenny. Yeah. He was a natural athlete and all that stuff. Yeah. And Ronnie, we had track and field been a big thing in the Virgin Islands for years, Ronnie.
Yeah, but I had a guy named Mangual. Mangual used to be a track star from the same school.
Mangual.
I mean, Inter-American was really the potpourri of the Caribbean.
No, but wait, Rocky.
Mangual running put in St. Croix.
Yeah.
Mangual running St. Croix.
Yes, I know that name. I know that name, man.
I was a budding sprinter about 10th grade, and a whole slew of Puerto Ricans came over to run.
You dust them to let them know that they're going to go back to Puerto Rico because you got speed and St. Croix. Tell me that you run them off the track.
No. Them boy clean us out. I want to
You're going to be engineer laughing and all.
Yeah, because you know why? I went 10th grade. I was fast, but when they come over, they was, you don't know that Wayne Roebuck used to run the distance. And I could name names.
Wait. Wayne Roebuck from Sally Dude, what track runner?
Yeah.
Wayne Roebuck. Wow.
And we had good people. But the Puerto Ricans was a notch above us. And they come over. And they clean up because they were coming, I think, getting ready for their international university games.
Okay, So they come to St. Croix. They come to St. Croix to build confidence by beating up an Ayo. Oh gosh.
Yeah. But we were young. I was young, and we all were young.
Yeah.
But we really I saw Mangual. And Mangual was a real serious all around runner.
Yeah.
He was a distance runner.
Right. Yeah.
But he could have run the 400, and he could have, he was a good.
He could have sprint as well. We're gonna take a break, and we're gonna talk a little bit about Lito Valls. Rocky, you know about Lito Valls, right? That's a big thing with you, or no?
I know Lito Valls.
Yeah. When we come back, I just got a picture here, because he got old time sayings and all that stuff. Muchishan just sent me a picture of the book. So when we come back, we talk about it. And Wallace Williams mentioned it too. We'll be back right after this.
On Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, we are not afraid to stand up to the high and mighty like Jeff Bezos.
He had that big cowboy hat on. He looked like a shrink ray had hit Garth Brooks.
I'm Peter Sagal. Join me as we speak truth to power, at least until power agrees to buy us out, on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
He said that black smoke was constantly coming out of the burn pits 24/7. And my reaction to it was like, wow, that doesn't sound very safe. Wonder what that's about. And in my mind, I couldn't imagine at the time that type of system operating could potentially harm our service members.
Journalism that seeks and reveals. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here on Analyze This, the Table Talk. We got Rocky Labor and Ronnie Russell joining us on the mainland this morning, and Doc School actually heading up towards the mainland as well. So it looked like 3/4 of the guy is going to be on the mainland in a couple of hours, man. Are you whole thing down up there, okay? Make sure that the country running good while I'm up there.
yeah.
And all that. Good stuff. This is interesting. The Rocky, that's a virtual who's who you went to school with down at Inter American down there in San Germán, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ronnie, you remember a girl named Lucille Nibbs?
Yes.
Yes. You run track with her down there?
Yeah. Wow.
The thing was, Neville, that San Germán was the Mecca, the school.
Yeah.
You know, in the Caribbean, it ain't only Virgin Islanders, you know.
Inter-American. Yeah. I know, University of West Indies were big and they got multiple campuses, but the way you talk, you know, is like Inter-American really had a stronghold here in the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was American, it's American.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, at the time, the other countries didn't have the same status. Some of the countries were still battling, you know, independence, getting independence.
Oh, yes. So it's a timing dynamic is what we're talking about.
Yeah. So then in the early 60s, Inter-American University, and UPR too, University of Puerto Rico, you know, they had all the main athletes from the Caribbean, everything. They used to center around Puerto Rico track meets and everything. You know, Amadeo Francis, Bill, another thing. So you could go back to that history. A lot of great runners, you know, Cipriani Philip from Trinidad, Roberts from Trinidad, other people came to Puerto Rico to compete in that university championship. It was big. It was the biggest thing. And when the man come over, the man was ready. And we was, you know, we just learning. So the man clean us out, you know.
but never.
Yeah.
They used to have, in Mayagüez, they used to have the big combination of all the sports then, the track and field. And then you had so many guys from, not just from the Caribbean, but from Guyana, all those places used to come there, you know. Guyanese, you name it. They had, they were so, I mean, all over. They used to come to Inter-University. Most of them graduated from... It went on to other schools, but the truth of the matter is that we also had a lot of Virgin Islanders I remember a lot of St. Johnians. You know, I probably was the only St. Johnian there at the time.
But there are a lot of Saint-Thomas and Cousins. Like I tell you, lacking Otto and them, got Otto with a tennis player.
Otto teach me how to play tennis, man. Otto came back here. He was working here in the 70s. Ronnie, that your cousin?
Distant cousin. The thing is, Eddie, my brother, went there. Dean Hodge. I could name a bunch of people.
No. The great Virgin Islanders, man. Great Virgin Islanders. One more thing I wanted to ask. Ronnie, your mom's is from Puerto Rico, right?
She was born in Puerto Rico, yeah.
Born in Puerto Rico, but she lived in New York?
She lived in St. Croix.
In St. Croix, okay.
And she went to get her nursing degree in Lincoln, and then she came back. So she lived all her life.
Lincoln University over there in Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Okay. That's nice. Yeah.
The thing about it is that she grew up here with my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
And then she went out to school and came back, you know.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Hey, wait, quickly, before we switch, one more thing about the Caribbean. Like, you know, I like to brag about the Caribbean as relates to our historical impact on multiple levels. And since we're talking about track and field, the very first Olympics I saw, I was 8 years old. I was 72. That was in Munich, right? But you know, Rocky, 4 years later in Montreal, the 100 meter was won by Hazley Crawford from Trinidad, and the 200 meter was won by Donald Quarry from Jamaica, you know. So the Caribbean again, and I willing to bet at some point that man walked their way through Puerto Rico at some point running a track meet or two, Ronnie Russell and Rocky, because our one thing we've always excelled at here in the Caribbean with track and field is in the sprinting races. Maybe not the distance races like the Ethiopians and the Kenyans, but when it comes to sprinting, tell them to pack a lunch card. They got to walk out for them with people from the Caribbean, or athletes from the Caribbean.
Neville.
Yeah.
Not only run, you know, we have some good Savoy players, you know.
Of course.
The islands. Watched the twice down in the Central American game. Them fella had U.S. upset.
In the Pan Am games, yeah, they had them to beat.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. But we name the sewer name and softball out of St. John is synonymous. We know that already. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. And then Ronnie over here, we had a pitcher named Benjamin Legrand. No, Benjamin Legrand was a great softball pitcher from here on St. Croix. Great.
Yeah. But, you know, baseball, too, you know, you got to remember that we made an impact in baseball, softball, track and field.
Mm-hmm.
And
basketball, you know, too, because Ronald Charles set the record, 61 points in a Central American and Caribbean games back in 1977, or 78.
So the
list goes on and on. Per capita, we more than hold our own. I like that. So, gentlemen, go ahead, Ronnie. You want to say something?
No, that's why I end up here, because I support that whole effort.
We appreciate that. By the way, Rocky, I was talking about Norman Jean Baptiste being my teacher and having the ability to serve with my teacher. Clifford Graham had me to know that Rocky was my Spanish teacher, and then I also served with me in the 31st legislature. So right. you went through the same thing. Wow.
Yeah.
Small world, you know what I'm saying? So that's good. Look, I mentioned when I was talking last week about knocking dag and all them local terms, Leslie Comisión had mentioned to me about Lito Valls. And he apparently wrote a lot of books, right? And had sayings. He originally was from St. Croix and moved to St. John. Rocky, that's what it was?
Yeah, that's right.
He was the Carnival King, right? My best friend, Mother Miss Biggs, Melba Biggs, the first Carnival King and Carnival Queen back in the day?
I don't know him that way. I knew him is from being in Coos Bay. And he used to do a lot of library work in the librarian. A lot of historical stuff he did in the community, he was that type of person that you always could go to for different information. He used to write a lot of, I don't say books. He wrote a few books, but he wrote a lot of papers depicting different things in the Virgin Islands. And, you know, he's the one that had these saying and he put them together.
Yeah. Muchi Shanks just sent me a copy of the book. And you could tell that it was written a long time ago, or published a long time ago, because you could tell from the texture, the cover, right?
Yeah.
And old time sayings, I think is the name of it. You check what I'm saying? So, this is something that I gonna look into this. Like, I like this type of thing, yeah, right?
I know, yeah.
And Water Pistacle, that's the name of the That's the name of it. Ronnie, Wallace Williams said the Virgin Islands is the only place that don't have a national stadium. Oh gosh, Ronnie, that's not a good commentary, you know. Oh gosh,
and it's a commentary on where the priorities have lied for several administrations, as opposed to how the legislature would move. And because the administrations implement policy, it never came to pass. And that's a sad commentary, because we have produced over the years, 60, 70 years, excellent athletes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're working on that. Now, I know we're small, yes, and all that stuff, but we should have a national stadium on one of the islands then. I mean,
yeah,
with all due respect. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with that. Okay, his name is Rafael Lito Valls. Right?
Right.
And Leslie just sent me a nice photo here. Water Pistacle, old time sayings, and St. John back time. So
yes,
he was born on St. Croix, right? Resided in St. Thomas, but had moved over to St. John. And also, yes, he was a part of the, I saw an article here on the source. He was a part of the St. John Historical Society. Rocky, and there's an article here from January 29, 2007, and it was a 32-year-old organization at the time, so that means 75, right? And check out the names. I know one of these names, yeah, Ronnie, when Rocky hear it, he might start to bawl, right? They say one of the founding members, Andromeda Childs, right?
Yeah.
Remains active on the board, and this is 2007. In addition, tonight, officers include Margie Labrenz. You know that name, Rocky? She's your vice president. Yeah. Elroy Sproul, your mentor. Mentor. He's a historian. He's a historian in the National, the St. John, the St. John Historical Society. Wow.
Elroy was one of the brilliant Russian Islanders, man.
Yeah, man, yeah.
He belongs to a cadre of these scholars, that's what
I
call it.
I like that. Robin Swank, Beverly what? Bezuski? That's how you pronounce it? Bezuski? Eleanor Gibney and Bruce Coonover. Other members are Rafi Bulan, Chuck Pishko, and Peter Borges. So I had a who's who at St. Johnian and the St. John Historical Society over there, Rocky.
Yeah. So I know
that.
Many of them
are
not wrong anymore.
Yeah. But Ronnie, St. John, even though is the smallest of the main three, St. John history equally as rich, if not more, than the others. Ronnie, man, with the rebellion in 1733 and all kind of thing. St. John, the holy old man.
Yep. You know what's a tragedy that we don't really embrace teaching Virgin Islands history to our young people as we should.
Right.
I remember you had a lawsuit with that, right, Devin Carrington and Marshall Webster, and you were part of that too. Yeah.
That too.
What happened?
Well,
they had a ruling in 22, you know. They had something came down in 2022, in terms of some type of understanding between the education department.
But they
went far enough, Ronnie. We need a mandate.
No,
we need a mandate.
No. And the problem is, it's such a rich history in every aspect of community involvement in sports, in food, in cuisine, and you go across the board.
we have a rich history, and we aim imparting it in our young people, you know. And I'm really, well, you know, in time, let's say it, in time, I know it will come to pass, you know. But it ain't happening right now, and it should happen. And it should be a priority of the Department of Education to include it in you know, a real curriculum with the books and the types of information that's available. Come on, you know, we should have that. But, you know, in time, I'll say that, in time.
But quickly before you respond there, Rocky, is my understanding when I got to Central for that 1 year and then I went back to St. Dunstan's, right? We had world history in 9th grade. I think it was civics and government in 10th grade and U.S. history in 11th grade. I think you only needed 3 years of history, 4 years of English, 3 years of the other three, and then 2 years of foreign language or 3 years of foreign language. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we need a mandated fourth year of history. Rocky Lightbutt.
Yeah. I you know, haven't been in the system, been in the Senate. I think that one area that we probably neglected but haven't done a good job with is the same issue that Ronnie just talked about. But I believe that the issue starts before that. We haven't had a real collective information in terms of a textbook per se. Something that, you know, I remember when I was in college, didn't have a textbook, but what they did, they created a course out of a number of theses from those people receiving the doctorate. They had to write a paper on different aspects of language, and those articles became part of a class dissertation that gave us. We had a course called it was a course that dealt with the evolution of the language. We probably need a course with just the historical events of the territory, but just a number of people who made contribution, making a course, and we have to do it for just how we do Spanish and English.
Yeah.
A mandate like that, Neville.
Yeah.
We need a mandate the same way.
But we got into a break. But I do know that the 1 year that I went to Central High, 77-78, Caribbean history was being taught in Central High at that particular time, you know, in 77-78. So we take a break, we come back, and we delve into this. It's a good topic for us to delve into because it's rich. And something that we need to hopefully, you know, get some finality in terms of the mandate. So we'll be back right after this.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Rita Moreno.
I wanted to be a movie star from the time I saw my first picture.
Who found her good times only after some really difficult ones.
Be proud, you Puerto Rican. Be proud, you
I was often treated like a sex object.
Enjoy Emmy, Grammy, Oscar, and Tony winner Rita Moreno. Just a girl who decided to go for it.
Very early on, I realized that getting attention was a very nice thing.
On American Masters.
Tune in Friday, March 8th at 10 p.m. on WTJX-TV, Channel 12.